We're glad to have Bob Costas with us tonight. Good to see you, sir. Thank you. Mea culpa. Mm-hmm. Anybody going to be as brave during the 2022 opening ceremonies as you were in 96 and 08?
I don't know that it's possible. These are daunting circumstances. NBC has taken about 90% of its operation to its headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. Most of the producers, most of the broadcasters will be there. That's a good move because the COVID protocols are so tight that even asymptomatic athletes are likely to test positive at some point and then be quarantined in China. NBC is responsible for a small army of personnel. And so to get as many of them out of there to begin with is a good idea. Those who remain, I don't know exactly what measures the Chinese might take, but they have been known to take extreme measures. An innocent enough or insipid enough tweet from the former general manager of the Houston Rockets saying, "Stand with Hong Kong," got Rockets games pulled off Chinese TV, and it's a big market for the NBA, for several months. And when Enes Kanter of the Celtics made similar comments this season, boom, Celtics games gone. So now you're NBC, you've got this billions upon billions of dollars of investment there, and you've got no fans in the stands. It's COVID hangs over it like a dark cloud. Then everybody knows by now, maybe in 2008, the world wasn't as fully aware. And in truth, the Chinese regime, objectionable as it was in 2008, is much worse now. And the genocide and the human rights violations are worse now. And it's impossible to ignore it. It's a giant elephant in the room. But if they address it more than tangentially, more than just acknowledging it, if they opine about it, who's to say what the Chinese might do in retaliation? And the NBC executives are responsible for all of their personnel there. So I'm not quite sure how they will be able to address it, if at all.
It's a great point. And you have a lot of people over there who their safety and their freedom relies on the goodwill of the Chinese. You say that the Chinese are a lot worse than they were in 2008. There's no question they've been emboldened in every way. We looked back at the bidding for the 2022 games. One of the other cities that was up was Oslo. Oslo versus Beijing. Oslo, of the 14 categories the IOC measures, Oslo was favored in 12 of them, and Beijing won. Government support, finance, and marketing being the only categories that Oslo didn't win in. Why is the IOC continue to be in the pockets of these regimes?
Yeah, and plus Oslo is a natural Winter Games location,
yeah,
where Beijing is not. Yeah, there's snow there. It's part of what defines the nation. In addition to twice being in Beijing, 08 and 22, they were also in Sochi in 2014, and I confronted, figuratively, Vladimir Putin wouldn't come in for an interview, but we spoke about it very directly at that time, and all of the objectionable aspects of that authoritarian regime. And as you pointed out, although the Olympics closely guard their footage, every time, at least three or four Olympics, when I interviewed the presidents of the IOC, one of the questions always was, can you explain the IOC's strange affinity for authoritarian nations? And I asked Thomas Bach, who is now the president of the IOC in Sochi, are you comfortable with the Olympic flame burning over Vladimir Putin's Russia? And the answer always is, well, you know, we like to move it around to various locations, and we feel that the presence of the Olympics in any given country might moderate their behavior and move them toward democratic or Olympic ideals. And my response to that is, how's that working out? How's that working out?
Yeah.
Anything moving in the right direction in China or in Russia? And now, after that ramble on my part, I've forgotten your question, Leland. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I think actually you did answer it, which is that the reason that the IOC continues to give these authoritarian regimes the games is because of money, which is what it comes down to. And it's the same reason that American companies continue to sponsor. This from the New York Times: for Olympic sponsors, China is an exception. Pressure is mounting on companies to condemn the country's human rights violations, but executives say the game should not be politicized. These are the very same companies that are just fine politicizing the NFL or the NBA games and sponsoring athletes who are very political for U.S. sports. But when it comes to the Olympics, say no, no, see no evil, say no evil, speak no evil.
Yeah, a couple of things here. First of all, the IOC is beyond disingenuous. They have politicized these games simply by putting them in Beijing. Let's say, okay, 2008, they want to open the games up to Asia, and they've since gone to South Korea for Winter Games and back to Tokyo for Summer Games. And maybe the full extent of the horrors of the Chinese regime weren't clearly evident to the rest of the world. But to go back to them so quickly when everything was known in 2015 is unconscionable. And yes, having an advantage in finance and marketing, the two advantages out of the 14 bullet points that they had over Oslo, Norway, that goes to security, which is a legitimate concern, and infrastructure and whatnot. But the other part that we can't exactly quantify, but common sense tells us, the poobahs of the IOC like to be treated royally. Vladimir Putin spent a ruble's equivalent of $50 billion on the Sochi Olympics. There's an unlimited budget. The government doesn't have to account for anything. The CCP doesn't have to account for anything. And if that means, wink, wink, making things even nicer for IOC officials, who's to say that doesn't happen? Stands to reason it does.
For sure. Are you, and it's a rhetorical question, but some executives you talk to about it, major U.S. companies, about continuing to sponsor the Olympics and dealing with the Chinese, they offer the same straw man argument that the IOC does, right? That if we bring Apple to China, then hopefully people will see and the regime will be moderated. It's never worked. Is the fact that the Uyghurs are in the conditions that they are, and we now know that what is happening to that group of people, a couple of million of a religious minority in China, that is so similar to what was happening in the 1930s in Germany. Is there going to be any pressure on American corporations to finally take a stand, or does the almighty Yuan take supreme power?
I think it's reaching critical mass and widespread public understanding that cuts across political lines. So there may indeed be some pressure in that direction. You know, it isn't just sports. Sports is the most visible thing, especially when you talk about an Olympics. But you know that that's a huge market for entertainment interests, for Hollywood. And there are a number of films that have been edited, seen differently in China than seen elsewhere in the world, edited so as not to, quote, offend the CCP. Take out anything that might offend them or might open the eyes of a Chinese audience to what is going on elsewhere in the world, in contrast to what's happening in their nation. Anything at all that upsets the Chinese government is just too big a market for many business interests in the United States not to bow to, which is really what it amounts to in many circumstances.
Yeah, for another organization as well, it is a business interest, right, which is the NFL, who launched their expansion team in foreign markets, and they provided this map. This was a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, and the map that they showed Taiwan being part of China, and that they were then sort of gave these teams to different countries to try to have home team advantage and all this other kind of stuff. The Chinese get the Los Angeles Rams. China includes Taiwan. Chinese was fine with this. The NFL's selling lots of merchandise and TV rights, et cetera, in China. Let me just flip it around. If the NFL had made a map and actually had some moral courage that had Taiwan as a separate country and given them a different team, what would have happened?
I think there would have been some sort of response just based on the precedent where they tried to get me fired or, failing that, issue a public apology way back in 1996 and taking NBA games off the air. There would have been some sort of reaction, not just some tweet or we object. There would have been some sort of reaction that exacted some sort of commercial price, because that's the playbook in China.
Wanted to get your thoughts on the NFL and of what I did get wrong. I got right that you had spoken out long about CTE and were one of the first people to ring the alarm bells and really talk about that and hold the NFL to account. They had the ratings dip in 2020 as so much of BLM and the social justice issues came to be. And then this past week, record numbers watching the Bills, Chiefs, the Rams, Bucks, 49ers, Packers, Bengals, Titans. What has the NFL figured out about the American psyche that they are impenetrable to falling out of favor with American viewers?
Well, in fairness, all sports took a dip in 2020 because of COVID. Games had to be moved around. There were no fans in the stands for the most part. That takes atmosphere away. People's state of mind and their habits were altered. But all sports have bounced back to some extent in 2021 and now 22. But the NFL has long been the colossus, not only in American sports, in American entertainment. You look at the top 100 rated shows in a given year, and 75, 80 of them are NFL games. So it has a lot of advantages. A, if you can look away from some of the concerns, especially what it does to the brains of too many of its participants, and then other scandals and objectionable things that have come up around the NFL in recent years. And they're not unique in that. That happens elsewhere in sports too, but the NFL is the one which we pay the most attention to. People look away from that. Even those who have expressed objections to some of these circumstances, they're caught up in the excitement of the games. You play once a week. When you get to the playoffs, Leland, every game in the NFL playoffs is the equivalent of a seventh game in baseball, basketball, or hockey. They're all do-or-die elimination games, played at the time at a time of the year when most of the country is inside because of the weather and all the rest. Gambling has always been a big part of it. Now you have legalized gambling, which feeds into it. And this past week, these games were so compelling. They all came down to the very last play. Pretty hard to turn away from that, even if you are skeptical about some aspects of the NFL.
People have been able to turn away from the Olympics. Ratings continue to plummet. Are they going to go down even farther for 2022?
I wish all my friends and colleagues at NBC well, and I know they will do a very good job under extraordinarily difficult conditions. No network has ever been dealt a hand as difficult as this one. But you got a combination of circumstances here. First of all, people's viewing habits have changed. So if you're just talking about the rating in prime time and standard broadcast television, that was going to go down under any circumstances. But now people have a bad feeling about China. We're talking about Americans now. COVID puts a damper on it. No fans in the stands, no family of the competitors, and emotion and sentiment matters more in the presentation of an Olympics than other sports events. And since most of the broadcasters won't be there, you won't even have the fresh-faced youngster from the United States who's just won a medal coming in and sitting down with Mike Tirico, the host. You won't have any of that. So NBC is not to blame. They're going to make the best of a circumstance that they never anticipated when they bid billions and billions of dollars for every Olympics through 2032.
Well, what I can say is when my phone rang yesterday and it was you, I'm glad it ended up with this conversation today. Hopefully, I won't have to insult you to get you back, come back on the program, all right?
You didn't insult me. In fact, you impressed me. If I have a moment here, every public figure knows that every person and every situation are mischaracterized to some extent inevitably, no matter how well you've been treated in the big picture. It's inevitable with social media, with hyper-partisan media. There's stuff out there that isn't just wildly outrageous opinions. There's stuff out there about everybody and everything that's factually wrong. The difference is that you cared about it. You immediately wanted to make it right. You didn't just say, hey, I won't do that again. You said, what can I do? I thought I was just going to have a private conversation with you as a fellow St. Louisan, and we have mutual friends. Yeah. Instead, you said, let me correct this immediately. That should be par for the course, but it's not anymore. And it's admirable that you wanted to do it, and I thank you for that.
Well, we thank you for coming on, and I know we have some mutual friends who will both be glad that you and I were together on the screen, something I've thought about since I used to listen to you. Good to see you.
Thank you, Leland. Congratulations on your new show.
Yeah, thank you.